Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, the Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, when we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Amen. Praise to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God. Let us pray. A song of thanks. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name. For your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I call, you answer me. You made me bold and hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand. Amen, amen, and amen. Psalms 138, verses 1 through 5, and verse 8. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
You don't know.
Praise be to God. People should never doubt where our faith lies. We're not secret agents. No way. Along with our friendliness and genuine concern and caring action, we are to be bold. We are to be outspoken about our faith in Jesus Christ. And we should faithfully pray for opportunities to introduce our friends to the Savior. There's no greater gift than sharing the salvation offered through Jesus. It was the Apostle Paul's desire in Colossians 4 and 3, where it says that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mysteries of Christ. Paul wanted to declare Christ openly and to as many people as possible. I encourage you to study God's word and meet with other Christians so you can be prepared for questions people may have regarding Jesus. You don't have to know everything, but be comfortable with a few facts about your faith in Jesus. Then reach out with the true gospel. Be bold. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want other people to experience your love and have your promise of eternal life through Christ. Show us people can minister to. Help us be prepared and give us the words to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Your simple song.
Everything I owe you, Lord, if our hands together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
Shepherd. In Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Those of us who belong to the Lord know we are safe and secure. We know for certain that the Lord is our shepherd, so therefore we do not fear the future, because he is already there. He will walk before us every day, leading us to our eternal destination. Sometimes we have doubts about the future. We wonder whether we will have enough to provide for our essential needs. With childlike certainty, the psalmist then tells us, I shall not be in want. You shall not be in want of anything that you truly need and that is good for you. The Lord will hear when you call because his love never changes. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, it is a glorious reassurance to us that you are our shepherd and that in your hands we are safe and secure. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. At this time, I will play another selection.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder why.
fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray, to simply tell the Father thank you? And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see, he looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever need. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you.
Considering the cross. In Galatians 6 and 14, in the New King James Version says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Praise God. So as we consider Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we should be profoundly humbled and profoundly grateful. And today, as we come to Christ in prayer, we should do so in a spirit of quiet, heartfelt devotion to the one who gave his life so that we might have eternal life. Amen. He was the Son of God, but he wore a crown of thorns. He was the Savior of mankind. Yet he was put to death on a rugged hymn cross made of wood. He offered his healing touch to an unsaved world. And yet the same hands that had healed the sick and raised the dead were pierced with nails. Christ humbled himself on a cross for you and for me. He shed his blood for you and for me. He has offered to walk with us through this life and throughout all eternity. As you approach him today in prayer, think about his sacrifice and his grace and be humble. Praise God. God is my heavenly Father. He loves with an everlasting love. The proof of that is in the cross. The cross takes care of the past. The cross takes care of the flesh. The cross takes care of the world. The heaviest end of the cross lies ever on his shoulders. If he bids us carry a burden, he carries it also. God proved his love on the cross when Christ hung and bled and died. It was God saying to the world, I love you. The cross is God's compass pointing to heaven. Let's think about this. The salvation that Jesus provided on the cross is free to us, but it cost him so much. We must never take his sacrifice for granted. Amen? Just a thought. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, in the New King James Version says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. In Hebrews 9, 27 through 28, in the CSB Bible says, and just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Amen. In Romans 5 and 6, in the New King James Version says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In John 15 and 13, and the CSB says, no one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friend. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, you are our Savior and our protector. You suffered on the cross for us, and we will give you honor and praise every day of our life. We will honor you with our words, with our thoughts and with our prayers. And we will live according to your commandments, so that through us, others might come to know your perfect love. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, at this time, I will play another selection.
You clean me up.
You thought I was the devil.
Amen. You thought I was worthy. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled Battle Won Faith. Scripture reading for this message is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. And it says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Praise be to God. We all know the story of the young shepherd boy who slew the giant. David stood before his formidable foe with no sword, armor, or battle experience. Biblical scholars speculate that Goliath, the mammoth Philistine warrior, stood somewhere between 9 and 12 feet tall and weighed several hundred pounds. He was heavily armed, and the sight of him struck terror into the hearts of Saul's army. By all rational accounts, David was no match for his challenger. The secret of David's success, however, was not in his own ability, but in his willingness to trust and obey God. Likewise, David realized that what he learned in one situation would help him with whatever he faced in the future. The same is true for you and me. God has a plan to develop our faith as well. Dependency on him. You may be facing what seems to be enormous trials and difficulties, but knowing how to respond properly to these challenges is critical to your spiritual growth. So like David, declare that your battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Allow God to take your trust and grow it into a strong and mighty faith in his name. One that has the ability to conquer any foe. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, our battle belongs to you. In your name we triumph. Strengthen our faith and lead us to your awesome victory. In your name, pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Battle won faith. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And right now, we are going to worship and praise the Lord.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy.
Which means Lord God of my salvation. Psalms 88:1 says, O Lord, the God of my salvation, Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, I have cried out by day and in the night before you. Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, you are the God, the Lord God of my salvation. You reign from heaven and rule on earth. You rescue those in need and bind up the brokenhearted. You save not only eternal, also in time and history. Through the wisdom in your word, you save me from making wrong choices or going down the wrong path. You save me from a life of misery and regret through your healing, forgiveness, and grace. You save me from worry by assuring me that I can trust in you. You save me from confusion when I seek your truth and kingdom agenda in my life. I praise you because you are Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, the Lord God of my salvation. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
withholding nothing.
Praise God. Life is waiting for you. In Matthew 14:30-31, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Are you ever scared to take a chance? Sometimes it's easier to stay home with a bowl of ice cream and watch the world go by, isn't it? Maybe it's hard for you to make friends or actually do the one thing you have thought of doing, like taking a trip or joining a certain club. Maybe you wanted to go hiking or go to church again. What are you waiting for? What's holding you back? Is there something good God has put on your heart to do or to be? Yet it's hard for you to step out and take that chance. The nuggets get stronger, but the doubt inside you grows as you think through what it might mean to put it into action. I'm here to tell you that you are greater than you could ever imagine. God would not be nudging you if he did not think you could do it. You got this. Sometimes it's hard to get out of our comfort zones. So rather than go for it, we tend to make excuses as to why it can't happen. It's time to push the excuses away and start living life as God intended. Do a new thing today and step out in faith. Get out of your comfort zone and start saying yes to the callings of your heart. It's okay to start small. Maybe it's time to make that plan or put down the ice cream and open the shades a little. It's hard to do things that are new to us. Sometimes even go back to things we once knew. But give yourself grace in these times and call upon the Lord to get help you were get you where you know he wants you to be. You got this. What's been on your heart or mind lately to pursue? What's stopping you from making the next move? It can be scary to try new things and leave familiar comfort zones, but life is waiting. When we put our trust in the Lord and lean on him for strength, we can do amazing things. Amen. Praise be to God. You got this. Let us pray. Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, I confess that I sometimes try to be my own savior. Rather than look to you, I try to find my own solutions and force them into place. Rather than honor you as king, I tried to place myself in a position of authority. Jehovah, Elohim, Yeshua, you are the one who saves. Forgive me for not turning to you and instead turning to my friends, family, and others to seek solutions for the trials I face. I should always turn to you first in everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection. After the selection, I will come back with a word. Amen. Praise God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. Let's assemble. We're going to have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God? My God is
sustaining
me. Grace,
I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Amen. And we're going to read verses 11 through 18. That's Galatians chapter 6. Verses 11 through 18, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation, but you can read from whatever Bible you feel comfortable reading. Amen? I like the New Living Translation. Praise God. That's again Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. This is Paul's final advice. And it says, notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Verse 18. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. I have just read to you Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. At this time, I will say a prayer. Amen. Whew, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you, Father God, for another day, another week, another weekend. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son, who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. I pray for the increase of our congregation. I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. And Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation for supplying our every need. And all these blessings, we ask and pray in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Paul's argument in Galatians is that if these Gentile Christians submit to circumcision as a symbol of their commitment to the Jewish law. They have mollified the power of the cross of Christ. Now, their circumcision would be a sign of dependency on the law and not grace for salvation. The law is not the gospel of Christ. It is not a gospel at all. In Galatians 1, 6 through 7, where it says, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest. So in other words, it's telling us that Paul says that the students should take care of the material needs of their teachers in 1 Corinthians 9, 7 through 12. It is easy to receive the benefit of good Bible teaching and then to take our spiritual leaders for granted. Ignoring their financial and physical needs, we should care for our teachers, not grudgingly or reluctantly, but with a generous spirit, showing honor and appreciation for all they have done. Amen. Praise God. So this thought is at the heart of our scripture reading today. It is summed up in our text in Galatians 6 and 14 says in the NIV, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gloried not in the law, but in the cross. Amen. Praise God. My text for this message is coming from Galatians 6 and 14 and the NIV. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my title for this is glorying in the cross. Praise be to God. Tonight, my message is divided into four paragraphs. And the first paragraph coming from Galatians 6, 12 through 14, Paul gloried in the cross as the test of motivation. What were the motives of these Judeans? What was Paul's motive? First, their first motive was human pride. In Galatians 6 and 12, and the NIV tells us, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Paul was saying they would make capital out of your compliance. They would boast of having won you over to carnal rites. Now, the teaching of the Judeans was only a pious form of human pride. Second, their second motive was fear. They are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Now, the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. In fact, Paul was saying, those who would force circumcision on you have no sincere faith in its value. Their motive is quite different. They merely hope to save themselves from persecution for professing the cross of Christ. Both Judaism and the Roman authorities would tolerate a Christianity that was only a sect of the Jewish religion. But the cross set the Christians apart in such a way as to bring persecution from both Jews and Romans. Thirdly, their third motive was selfishness or worldliness. Paul said in Galatians 6 and 13, not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. In other words, look at their inconsistency. They advocate circumcision, and yet they themselves neglect the ordinance of the law. Their motives are those of worldly men. Their basic motivation is selfishness. They want to be able to boast of the number of Gentiles to be circumcised as a result of their efforts. But Paul's motive was pure and true to the gospel. He said in Galatians 6 and 14 in the NIV, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul placed no value here on his impeccable credentials as a Jew. He could describe himself as a Pharisee, descending from Pharisees in Acts 23 and 6. And in writing to the church at Philippi, he listed his entire pedigree, Philippians 3, 4 through 6. You can read it for yourself, amen? From the Jewish standpoint, these were real credentials. But how did Paul regard them? As rubbish. He said in Philippians 3 and 7 in the NIV, whatever were gains to me, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. So Paul gloried only in the cross. If he could be in one of our church services today, no doubt he would gladly sing with us. Amen. Praise be to God. In the cross of Christ I glory, to ring over the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers around that head sublime. In the cross of Christ I glory, by John Bowen. Paul gloried in the cross as the means of separation. Now Paul gloried in the cross as the test of motivation, and now Paul gloried in the cross as the means of separation. The cross separates believers from unbelievers. the Jews deplored the offense or scandal of the cross. Some Jews might have accepted Jesus as the Messiah, but they could not accept a crucified Messiah, a Savior on a cross. They wondered, how could God permit this wonderful being to be experienced the degrading, agonizing penalty of the cross? The apostles pointed to the Old Testament, explaining that the crucifixion was a part of the Messiah's experience described and predicted hundreds of years earlier. Amen. So preaching in the temple counts after the healing of the man who was crippled from birth. Peter said in Acts 3:18 in the NIV, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. For the most part, the Jews would not accept this teaching, nor would many of the Gentiles. To the Jews, the cross was a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. To Paul, the cross was God's means of salvation. In personal terms, Paul said of the cross in Galatians 6:14 in the NIV, may I never boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul considered his acceptance of the crucified Christ at the end of his life in the world and beginning of a new life in Christ. Praise be to God. To him, the world's appeal was dead. Earlier in Galatians, Paul declared in Galatians 2:20 in the NIV, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The cross is primarily, all other things are secondary. Paul made his boast in Christ and him crucified. The world has been crucified to me. He was saying, what is the world to me now? What are all the things of which I once boast? They are crucified. Paul also said that he had been crucified to the world. He said farewell to the world, and the world said farewell to him. His life's work was a continuous protest against the spirit of worldliness. Paul, like his master, was despised and rejected of men in Isaiah 53:3. And all because of Christ crucified, the cross separates believers from the world. It separated Paul. It separates us. Paul gloried in the cross as the way of salvation. So we know he had a motivation. He means the separation and now the salvation. Paul continued. He said in Galatians 6:15, in the NIV, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. A new creation, externals do not count. What counts is being a new creature in Christ Jesus, being transformed by the power of God's Spirit. The acceptance of Christ crucified is the only way of salvation. Jesus said on his last journey to Jerusalem in Luke 14 and 27 in the NIV, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Commentators Frank Stagg wrote, the cross stands for death. In principle, it is death to self in the act of surrender to Christ. It is the denial of the self that would have its own being apart from God and others. Although the death, it is also life. The cross is life through death. It is finding a new way of life by rejecting the way of self-love, self-trust, and self-assertion. The cross is God's way of salvation. There is no other. Paul gloried in the cross as the touchstone of Christian unity. A faithful pastor once said, I have little time for communism, the $4 word for church union, with the proposition you surrender a little of what you believe, and I will surrender a little of what I believe. And by, we will get together. Let me say frankly and bluntly that until by the scriptures it is shown me that I am in error, I will not give up one jot nor one tittle of what I believe. But I will meet any man at the foot of the cross. That is the touchstone. The man who trusts in the redeeming merits of Christ's death on the cross for his sins, and only in that, is a Christian. And the one who does not is not a Christian. The man who throws himself like an empty ring upon the grace of God made possible by the cross is my brother in Christ, and I care not what the other factors may be. Listen to Paul again in Galatians 6 and 15. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. God is willing to accept Jews and Gentiles alike. It makes no difference. He blesses all who agree to live by his principles. But the key phrase here is in verse 16. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. The Israel of God is in implied contrast to the Israel of the flesh. It stands here not for the faithful converts from the circumcision alone, but for spiritual Israel generally. The whole body of believers, whether Jew or Gentile. The entire argument of Galatians is against creating two groups of believers, Jewish and Gentile. Paul's clear position is that Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ. In Galatians 3:28, thus the true Israel of God is a bold way of stressing this truth. Paul pronounces a benediction of peace and mercy on a third race of people, neither Jew nor Gentile, but Christian. The cross is the touchstone of Christianity unity. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Many excuse themselves from the work of religion. Though they may make a show and profess it, they may impose upon others, yet they deceive themselves if they think to impose upon God, who knows their hearts as well as action. And as he cannot be deceived, so he will not be mocked. Our present time is seed time. In other words, we shall weep as we sow now, as there are two sorts of sowing, one to the flesh and the other to the spirit. So will the reckoning be hereafter. Those who live a carnal, sensual life must expect no other fruit from such a course than misery and ruin. But those who under the guidance and influence of the Holy Spirit live a life of faith in Christ and abound in Christian grace shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We are all very apt to tire in duty, particularly in doing good. This we should carefully watch and guard against. Only to perseverance in well-doing is the reward promised. Here is an exhortation to all to do good in their places. We should take care to do good in our lifetime and make this the business of our lives, especially when flesh occasions offer and as far as our power reaches. Hallelujah, Jesus. Proud, vain, and carnal hearts are content with just so much religion as will help to keep up a fair show. But the apostle professes his own faith, hope, and joy, and that his principal glory was in the cross of Christ, by which is here meant his suffering and death on the cross, the doctrine of salvation by a crucified Redeemer, by Christ or by the cross of Christ. The world is crucified to the believer and he to the world. The more we consider the suffering of the Redeemer from the world, the less likely shall we be to love the world. The apostle was as little affected by its charm as a beholder would be anything which had been pleasing in the face of a crucified person. When he behold it back blackened in the agonies of death, he was no more affected by the objects around him than one who is expiring would be struck with any of the prospects his dying eyes might view from the cross on which he hung. And as to those who have truly believed in Christ Jesus, all things are counted as utterly worthless compared with him. There is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and new views and dispositions are brought in under the regenerating influence of God the Holy Spirit. Believers are brought into a new world and being created in Christ Jesus unto good works, are formed to a life of holiness. It is a change of mind and heart whereby we are enabled to believe. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. And to live to God. And where this inward practical religion is wanting, outward profession or name will never stand in any stead. A new creation to the image of Christ, as showing faith in him, is the greatest distinction between one man and another, and a blessing it declares on all who walk according to this rule. The blessings are peace and mercy, peace with God and our conscience, and all the comfort of this life, as far as they are needful, and mercy and interest in the free love and favor of God in Christ, the spring and fountain of all other blessings. The written word of God is the rule we are to go by, both in his doctrines and precepts. May his grace ever be with our spirits to sanctify, quicken, and cheer us up. And may we all be ready to maintain the honor of that which is indeed our life. The apostle had in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, the scars of wounds from persecuting enemies, for his cleaving to Christ and the doctrine of the gospel. The apostle calls the Galatians his brethren. Therein, he shows his humility and his tender affection for them. And he takes his leave with a very special, sincere prayer that they might enjoy the favor of Christ Jesus, both in his effects and in his evidence. We need desire no more to make us happy than the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle does not pray that the law of Moses or the righteousness of works, but that the grace of Christ might be with them, that it might be in their hearts and with their quickening, comforting, and strengthening them, to all which he said his amen, signifying his desire that so it might be, and his faith, and so it will be. To God be the glory. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say this. The cross is not simply a historical event that occurred 2,000 years ago. It is a spiritual fact now. We are involved. Jesus' choice of the cross as God's way to redeem humankind has been vindicated by thousands who, like Paul, have gloried in the cross. What about you and me? I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me, glorying in the cross. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to be saved, now is the time, my brothers and sisters. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to to help me obey you, to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the body of Christ. And the next thing that you have to do is to find a good Bible-based church to further your Christian walk. Amen. It must be a Bible-based church. And I would like to leave you with these words from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe and always be vigilant of your surroundings. Amen. We love you and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. And I'd like to thank my guest online also for didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. God bless you and may heaven smile upon you. Good night, everybody. We love you and God loves you too. Shalom.
Belongs to you. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Pray One for Another.
Good night, everyone. God bless. Okay.